Hello, and a golden autumnal welcome to this week's edition of Here and Now, the Dawlish and Tynmouth area talking newspaper. Today it's the turn of the Red Team once more to bring you the latest news from our region, recorded at our Dawlish studio on Friday the 24th of October 2025, already half term and the end of British summertime. As we turn back the clocks an hour at midnight on Saturday the 25th. Yes, the nights are drawing in ever faster. Unless you happen to be listening to us from more exotic places. Our very own Peter Taylor tells us he listened to Here and Now recently while on a cruise off the coast of Japan. So, konnichiwa to all our Japanese listeners. I'm John Townsend, leading our ever-cheery team of volunteers. I'm joined by five other readers this week, all armed with newspaper articles, and as usual, I'll conclude with entertainment on offer at Pavilions Tynmouth, Dawlish Theatre, and other dates for your diary. So, as the wet leaves fall and blow around our feet, we'll put on the kettle, sit back and take a cosy look at this week's front pages. The Dawlish Gazette's headline is Call for Volunteer Crossing Patrols. And the Tynmouth Post's is River Pollution Worries After Water Tests. So we'll start with concerns over road safety in Starcross and calls for crossing patrols. So who's doing the calling and who's doing the crossing? Hopefully Mary can tell us.
Right, yes, as John said, it's Call for Volunteer Crossing Patrols. And the subheading says Traffic dangers near school caused by diversion, and this leads to pleas. An appeal has gone out for volunteer school crossing patrol wardens in Starcross following claims that children's lives are in danger. The call comes as the main A379 closure, which diverts traffic through residential streets and past Starcross Primary School, has been extended until mid-November. Now parents want to put together their own volunteer crossing patrol to start when the school reopens after half term. One parent said, "There is dangerous traffic outside Starcross Primary School, despite Devon County Council Highways saying through traffic is not allowed to use New Road. Meanwhile, we need a temporary crossing patrol." The cause of the A379 works is renovations to the Driftwood Inn, formerly the Galleon. There have been calls for Teignbridge Council to help by allowing residents temporary free use of the New Road car park, where charges have recently been introduced. The official diversion route is via the A38, then the A380, then the A381, and back to the A379. County Councillor Alan Connett said the roadworks have highlighted a longer-term need for a permanent crossing in the village. He explained, "Devon County has done a lot to divert lorries away from Starcross. Devon Highways has also spoken to the hauliers, and I'm told firms have agreed not to go through Starcross, and yet their drivers continue to do so. We have reports of ordinary traffic speeding along the 20-mile-an-hour new road. I have asked Devon Highways and our local police for more support, as I very much appreciate the concerns of parents and the school. For now, we need a temporary solution so children can cross safely to and from school. However, what this has shown is that we need a zebra crossing on New Road as a permanent solution. Cars and lorries would have to stop to let children across, and it would greatly improve road safety for the community."
Hello, it's Anne here, and my first article is entitled Pollution Concerns After Water Quality Tests. A volunteer group has raised concerns about pollution in the River Teen after revealing that water quality dropped to worrying levels last winter. Friends of the River Teen, Fort, reported that the tests it carried out at Shaldon Beach last winter revealed significant dips in water quality. The group has just restarted its winter water quality test program. Shoreden Beach is currently ranked excellent by the Environment Agency. The results showed that water quality dipped below the minimum threshold that bathing waters must achieve before local authorities have to publish warnings about bathing. The results showed that on one occasion in April, water quality was many times worse than the minimum standard. This followed a long period of over 10 weeks of excellent water quality. Heavy rain, especially after long dry spells, can trigger very high levels of bacterial contamination from sewage overflows, agricultural runoff, and even roadside gullies, Fort explained. There were a number of these events that together mean that the overall classification of the bathing water at the beach fell below the minimum sufficient standard set by the government. Volunteers at Fort began testing water quality last October, soon after the group launched. The tests, which are processed in a UK accreditation service, UCAS, certified laboratory, detect bacteria that can indicate the presence of sewage and agricultural pollution. Last winter, we carried out 27 tests. Each test is done in the same way as the Environment Agency tests, which are only carried out between May and September, explained Fort Chair Stuart Reynolds. This was the first time that testing has been conducted throughout the autumn and winter, he added. Shoreden Beach is ideal for testing during the winter months as its sheltered location ensures that testing can be carried out in all weather conditions. The group plans to continue testing over the next 6 months and will reveal a detailed analysis of the results at its annual meeting on Friday, November the 7th. Fort was set up in October 2024 to give the River Teen a voice. The community group aims to preserve and enhance the 31-mile watercourse and its surrounding coastline by focusing on water quality, biodiversity, and building links with communities who have an interest in the river. In particular, the group is keen to monitor water quality throughout the year, not just when the official Environment Agency tests during the summer. We know that many people still swim in the river every day, Stuart commented at the Fort launch event. We want to be evidence-based, using reliable science and expert knowledge to make the case for better water quality, he added. In addition to water quality testing, Fort aims to be a positive force for good. Representatives have campaigned in London to urge the government to take immediate action to curb river pollution. Volunteers have also taken part in cleanups along the River Teen in Teignmouth, Shoreden and Newton Abbot.
Hi, it's Sarah here. Devon tops UK pothole chart. Devon has been named the UK's pothole capital with more road craters than anywhere else in the country over the past 3 years. According to the newly released UK Pothole Index 2025, Devon County Council logged more than 160,000 potholes since 2022, more than any other local authority in Britain. The data shows pothole numbers in Devon have skyrocketed by 160% in the past 3 years, despite the council having one of the largest road repair budgets in the country. But even with that level of funding, the county's roads continue to deteriorate. In the first half of 2025 alone, Devon recorded more than 25,000 new potholes, putting it in the top three worst hit areas this year, behind only Lincolnshire and Kent.
Duo tackle Himalayas to raise funds for West Bank. Two intrepid fundraisers face a mountain of a challenge in their bid to support an Exminster charity. The ambitious fundraisers will see John Powell and Andy Green head off to the Himalayas, hiking to Everest Base Camp, then onwards and upwards to Island Peak, an ascent of over 6,000 metres. John, director of Unicare Devon, which provides domiciliary care across Teignbridge, and Andy Green of One Touch Health, a software provider supporting social care teams, are taking on the epic challenge in aid of West Bank Health and Wellbeing Charity. They are funding the entire trip themselves, so every penny donated goes straight to West Bank. John explained, Unicare Devon is dedicated to supporting family carers in the Teignbridge area, and that is what has inspired us to take on this fundraiser for West Bank, a fantastic Exminster-based charity that does vital work across the whole of our county. West Bank's Devon Carers Service currently provides practical and emotional support to 34,000 unpaid adult carers, and West Bank's Devon Young Carers support several thousand carers aged under 18. By making a donation, you'll be helping us to help them. Andy said, this is only my second attempt at a full-scale mountain. The highest I have climbed before is only 4,200 metres on a pass 3 years ago, before becoming unwell with altitude sickness. So it will be quite a challenge for me. However, the preparation I have done with an altitude simulator has been a great help and will hopefully get me to the top. John added, we've been training for months in preparation for this challenge and are funding the trip ourselves because we want to raise as much money as possible for our cause. We can't wait to get our climb underway. John and Andy will be setting off late in October and returning on Tuesday, November the 4th. One extra item they will be packing with their kit is a flag emblazoned with West Bank's logo to place on the summit when they complete their challenge. And there's a lovely photograph of both John and Andy during training in the shadow of the Himalayas.
Broadmeadow refurbishment lifts memberships. The number of people taking up a leisure membership with Teignbridge District Council has risen to an all-time high since the reopening of its newly refurbished Broadmeadow Sports Centre in July. So far in 2025, Teignbridge Leisure has recorded over 90,000 individual visits to its gym and fitness suites, already approaching last year's total of 112,000 visits. In Teignmouth, memberships have increased by 29% since July. Of these, 205 were brand new members, many of whom joined using promotional offers. This growth highlights the success of recent investments, including upgrades at Dawlish Leather Centre and the £3.7 million full refurbishment of Broadmeadow. The 10-month project to revitalise Broadmeadow Sports Centre saw major works to refurbish changing facilities, extend studio space and gym areas, install a new accessible entry and reception area, add new exercise equipment, and introduce more energy-efficient heating and insulation. These works have enhanced accessibility, modernised facilities, reduced the council's carbon emissions, and improved the overall customer experience, a spokesperson for Teignbridge District Council said. We are thrilled to see so many people engaging with our leisure services and the positive impact that the reopening of Broadmeadow Sports Centre has on our membership, and particularly and participation numbers, commented Councillor John Nutley, Teignbridge District Council's Executive Member for Leisure and Recreation. This record number of members is a testament to the hard work of our staff, the quality of our facilities, and our commitment to making fitness and well-being accessible to our local communities, he added. As well as Broadmeadow Sports Centre, Teignbridge District Council's facilities include leisure centres in Newton Abbot and Dawlish and Teignmouth Lido. Beyond the gym, Teignbridge also promotes community well-being through outdoor activities, events, and access to green spaces, country parks, and nature reserves.
Mayor pays tribute to D-Day veteran. The Mayor of Teignmouth, Councillor Kate Williams, has paid tribute to Teignmouth D-Day veteran Joe Randall following his funeral earlier this week. Joe, who served as a corporal in the RAF, died at the age of 102. He was one of the last remaining survivors of the Second World War D-Day landings. Joe joined the RAF at the age of 17 and served in the Airfield Construction Squadron and was sent to Normandy 3 days after the first D-Day landings to build runways from scratch in fields near Caen. I want to give thanks to Joe and his family on behalf of Tynmouth Town Council. May he now have a peaceful rest, she said. Joe's funeral was held in Exeter on Monday, October the 13th, where his final departure was marked with a military guard of honour.
My next item is a letter from John Clatworthy, a former Dawlish councillor, and it's headed, Free Parking Would Support Local Traders. I was interested to read in the October 9th edition of the Dawlish Gazette that Councillor Rosie Dawson and other councillors want Devon County Council to review the suggested increases in on-street parking charges. So maybe firstly the council should consider making on-street parking charges in towns where there are currently no on-street parking charges instead of increasing current charges. Having said that, it is the Lib Dems who currently run Teignmouth District Council that removed the half-hour free parking period in the Strand car park in Dawlish. And in my letter to the Gazette on the 18th of January, I wondered whether any of the Dawlish Lib Dems tried to retain the free period. I stand to be corrected, so I assume not one of the five local Lib Dems did otherwise. Otherwise, they would have said so, and it includes our MP, who is still a district councillor. So much for supporting local traders who need support at present, and also residents for shopping to support the traders.
My next article, following on from that, is also about parking. Union slams parking profiteering profits. The Torbay and South Devon Trust made hundreds of thousands of pounds in profit from charging patients and staff to park in the year to March, new figures show. But the GMB, the trade union, which represents many NHS staff, said that it was perverse and grotesque to force them to pay to park at work. New figures released by NHS England show Torbay and South Devon NHS Foundation Trust received close on £1.4 million from parking charges across its various sites, including those in Teignmouth. This sum was made up of £1 million from charging patients and visitors, and additional £347,000 from staff. Across the whole of England, trusts received £271 million from parking charges, a 12% increase on 2023-2024. At the Torbay and South Devon Trust, income from parking increased by 7% from £1.3 million a year earlier. Brian Morton, Associate Director for Employment Relations at the Royal College of Nursing, said, "For nursing staff, the cost of parking takes too much of their pay. Staff are having to pay to park at work and can even be hit with fines when they stay late caring for their patients. This simply cannot be right. Staff work around the clock to be there for their patients, and working odd shift times means using public transport is not always possible. Trust leaders must do more to provide free parking for staff and not leave them out of pocket just for coming into work. The data also shows the cost of administering NHS car parks rose by 9%, a slower rate than the income they generated. Nationally, the NHS spent £84 million administering parking, giving it a total net income of £187 million. Managing parking costs the Torbay and South Devon Trust a total of £637,000, meaning overall it gave it a total net income of £729,000. Sharon Wild, National Officer at the GMB, said, "When the charges have risen faster than the cost of maintaining the car parks, it looks like the worst kind of profiteering. Health workers deal with punishing workloads and chronic understaffing. They need help and support. Paying to park while performing vital, life-saving work feels like the ultimate kick in the teeth." A Department of Health and Social Care spokesperson said that local trusts are responsible for the car parking space numbers, rates for parking and charging methods, but all parking charges should be reasonable for the local area. They added, "Free parking is available for those in greatest need, including all NHS staff who work overnight. While hospital car park charges are the responsibility of individual NHS trusts, we expect all charges to be reasonable and in line with the local area.
New play cafe for Dawlish. Parents with young children can now enjoy a cuppa while their offspring play at a new cafe in Dawlish. The Little Bean Play Cafe opened its doors earlier this month on the Strand. It offers babies and preschoolers a safe, welcoming, home-from-home setting where parents and carers can enjoy coffee and a cake while their little ones explore, learn and play. Owner Ellie Squirrel has a background in childcare and teaching children with special educational needs and disabilities, but was keen to start her own business. "The Dawlish community is so supportive," she commented. "I was looking for a community setting where everyone is welcome and supported by one another, and this was just the place." And there's a nice photo of the new cafe with a grey front and Little Bean Play Cafe on the top.
I've got just two death announcements here. The first one is Bob Lakeman, who passed away suddenly at his home in Tynmouth on October the 17th, aged 78 years. A cherished husband, dad, granddad, and great-granddad, and a private cremation will take place. And the other is Michael Bunclark, or Mike, who died peacefully on Thursday, the 9th of October, at Dawlish Community Hospital, aged 85 years. A much-loved husband to Val and father to Marie and Sarah. A loving grandfather and great-grandfather, who will be missed by all. The funeral service is to be held at Parkwood's Funeral Directors on Friday the 31st of October at 2:30 p.m.
Wildlife Recovery Strategy. Residents urged to shape new wildlife recovery strategy. There is still time for Devon residents to help shape a new strategy aimed at reversing the decline in wildlife and restoring the county's natural environment. The draft Devon Local Nature Recovery Strategy, LNRS, sets out a bold and collaborative plan to protect and enhance nature across Devon, Plymouth and Torbay. Developed by Devon County Council in partnership with the Devon Local Nature Partnership, district councils, other local authorities and community and voluntary groups, the strategy is open for public consultation until 5th of November 2025. England is split into 48 LNRS areas, and the responsible authority for Devon is Devon County Council, who is tasked with preparing and publishing the strategy. The LNRS identifies key priorities and actions to support nature's recovery, from restoring habitats and species to improving urban green spaces and building resilience to climate change. It also highlights opportunities for collaboration, funding and decision-making across sectors. Councillor Jackie Hodgson, Cabinet Member for Climate Change and Biodiversity, said, "Nature recovery isn't just about conservation, it's about creating a healthier, more resilient Devon for everyone. We need local insight, ambition and action to make this strategy truly meaningful and deliver opportunities for our precious wildlife to recover, thrive and flourish that supports well-being for all. The strategy is designed to reflect the needs and values of Devon's diverse communities. Whether you're a farmer, landowner, developer, business owner, wildlife enthusiast or resident, your views will help shape how nature is protected and restored in the years ahead. To take part, visit www.naturerecoverydevon.org.uk to explore the draft strategy, find out about consultation events, and share your feedback." And there's a picture there of a duck.
We've just done some musical chairs here, and we're now joined, I'm pleased to say, by Molly and David. So I think, Molly, your first story is Tynmouth-based.
Yes, third time lucky for Upper Den carriageway proposals. Tynmouth Town Council has agreed to resubmit plans to permanently open the Upper Den carriageway to Devon County Council for a third time after reviewing the results of a public consultation. The proposals will be added to the agenda for the next Devon County Council Highways and Traffic Orders Committee meeting on November the 6th. Supporters of the scheme believe that opening the Upper Den carriageway, which runs between the main beach and the Den recreation area, will ease the shortage of parking spaces in the seaside resort. However, opponents have raised concerns about the safety of children and the elderly trying to cross the road and are worried about the environmental impact if the road was to be open to traffic year-round. The Upper Den carriageway is usually closed between May and September to create a wider pedestrianised promenade. However, this year, the closure was delayed until June due to gasworks taking out even more vital car parking spaces in the town centre. Last year, Devon County Council's committee rejected a proposal from Tynmouth Town Council to permanently open the road for a second time. It said there needed to be further consultation regarding safety, environmental and policy issues. The question of whether or not the Upper Den carriageway should be permanently open has been rumbling on for around 5 years. It was first rejected by Devon County Council in 2022. Tynmouth Town Council recently carried out a survey to gauge public opinion on whether or not the Upper Den carriageway should remain open all year. More than 600 people completed the survey, the majority being residents of the town. When asked if they wanted the road opened, 423 said they strongly agreed, and another 47 agreed. Those who opposed the idea totaled 130. The survey also asked the opposite question. Would they want the Upper Den carriageway to remain closed during the summer? 453 voted against, while 150 were in support. Councillor Robert Phipps, who organised the survey, said safety concerns about allowing the road to remain open would be mitigated by imposing a 20-mile-an-hour speed limit and adding clearly marked crossing points around which parking would be restricted to improve vision. Summing up the results, he said, "My schoolboy maths is telling me that 3/4 or 2/3 of people are in favour of it being used for parking year-round." Councillor David Cox, who as a Devon County Councillor chairs HATOC, the Highways and Traffic Orders Committee, said he would not make his thoughts known until the meeting. He also told members that he and MP Martin Wrigley were planning to pay for a yes/no postcard survey on the subject that would reach an estimated 80% of the Tynbridge population. Asked by Councillor Joan Atkins why he would want to do that when the working group survey had already been conducted, he replied, "It's a county matter. It's a Highways and Traffic Orders Committee matter, and I feel that's what's needed to be done."
My next story is from Dawlish, and it's the Dawlish Scout Group, and it's an article contributed to the paper by Carol Wainwright. Dawlish Scout Group celebrated the achievements of its youngsters at the end of September at the annual AGM and awards evening. The evening was well attended with about 50 members and their families present, as well as the leadership team and trustees. The Best Beaver Award went to 7-year-old Joshua Stoneman and the Best Club or Cup Award to 9-year-old Ashley Bell. The Scout Achievement Award was made jointly to Saffron Carpenter and Theo Henley. Both Scouts are aged 14 and have been with the troop since they were 10. There were Explorer Scout Young Leader Acorns presented to Phoebe Poynier and Linus Wilkin, and Phoebe was also awarded the Platinum Explorer Scout Award. She was the first Dawlish youngster to achieve this award. There was also a very special award to Scout Troop Assistant Leader Ray Hoyle, He has been a scout leader here in Dawlish since 1973, a truly amazing contribution of over 50 years volunteering with the group. He was awarded the John Seaborne Community Cup. The evening concluded with excellent pasties delivered hot by the Oggy Oggy Pasty Shop, lots of cakes homemade by the older section and leaders, and a closely fought family quiz. Scouting provides fun, friendship, adventure, and skills for life for youngsters from age 4 to 25, and flexible, rewarding volunteering opportunity for adults of every age. In Dawlish, we do currently have vacancies for young people to join us in Beavers, 6 to 8 years of age, Cubs, 8 to 10 and a half, Scouts, 10 and a half to 14 and a half, and Explorer Scouts, 14 and a half to 18. We do not charge for trial sessions, and uniform is only required after investiture.
And the next feature is Dawlish firm sponsors Women's Football Cup. A Dawlish electrical firm has agreed to be the headline partner for the Devon County Football Association Women's Premier Cup. Red Rock Electrical has taken on the naming rights to the competition, which will now be referred to as the Red Rock Electrical Women's Premier Cup. We're delighted to have Red Rock Electrical on board as the headline partner, said Devon County FA Chief Executive Chris French. Their commitment to supporting the women's and girls game in the county is fantastic. The competition features 13 teams from across Devon. Last year, it was won by Marine Academy in Plymouth. We're excited to take the next step in our ongoing partnership with Devon County Football Association, commented Red Rock Electrical Director of Operations Dan Luxton. We are keen football fans, and we're always eager to support local football. And there's a very cheery picture of the winners, Marine Academy Plymouth, next to the article. They're looking very happy.
Tynmouth Youth Council gets underway. Youngsters involved in Tynmouth's new Youth Council were absolutely enthused after participating in the scheme's inaugural meeting earlier this month. The Youth Council consists of 12 youngsters aged between 10 and 15. 8 were appointed by local schools and 4 others applied independently. The initiative, which Tynmouth Mayor Councillor Kate Williams described as a project very close to her heart, is aimed at empowering young voices by providing a platform where they can express views and contribute to local decision-making. We met in the mayor's parlour last week and they were absolutely enthused, Kate told councillors at a full town council meeting on Tuesday, October 13th. There were lots of ideas, she added. The next youth council meeting will take place at the beginning of November and the young councillors have been tasked with democratically selecting a chair, vice chair and secretary, reflecting the same processes used by Tynmouth Town Council. I feel that as a council we are getting the voice of the youth from the youth themselves, Councillor Williams said. We are actually listening to them. Deputy Mayor Councillor Lily Chasteau had also been involved in the project and said it was really nice. They were really nice kids and I'm really hopeful. They asked lots of really interesting questions. Councillor Penny Lloyd asked if she could observe the next youth council meeting, but was advised that in the early stages the number of adults taking part would be capped with a view to boosting the youngsters' confidence. The Youth Council will attend the next Tynmouth Town Council meeting on Tuesday, November 14th, so town councillors can meet them and find out more about the purpose of the Youth Council and plans going forward.
And my next article is Tynmouth and District Youth 3A, and it's contributed in the paper by Jean Cox. October is always a special month for the Tynmouth and District Youth 3A, as it marks the anniversary of our founding. This October, we proudly celebrated our 6th year, a milestone that reflects the steady growth and success of our local organisation, now numbering over 500 members, and indeed I'm one of them. To mark the occasion, we held a celebratory event at Tynmouth Pavilions, an audience with. We were delighted to welcome Group Captain, retired Gordon Evans, DL, as our special guest speaker. Also joining us were some of our original founder members, those who, back in 2019, formed a steering group to explore whether there was enough local interest to establish a U3A branch in Teignmouth. The answer clearly was a resounding yes. The guest speaker, Gordon Evans, started his career, and it took him around the globe, including postings in Hong Kong, Oman, and Northern Ireland. After leaving military service in 2000, Gordon transitioned into civil aviation, flying Boeing airliners. He flew the Boeing 757 for TCS Expeditions, a luxury American travel company, and later the state-of-the-art Boeing 787 Dreamliner, which he described as a phenomenal machine. In 2015, Gordon retired from flying and was appointed Deputy Lieutenant for Devon, a voluntary role in which he represents His Majesty the King in the county as one of the 45 DLs. His duties include welcoming royal visitors, assisting with honours and awards, and supporting community initiatives. He plays a key role in local ceremonies. The presentation concluded with a question and answer session led by U3A member John Polly, who hosted in true talk show style. With questions submitted by the audience, the format allowed for deeper insight into Gordon's experiences and reflections. It was a fitting end to a memorable and inspiring anniversary event.
Park Run celebrates 75,000th participant. Teignmouth Promenade Park Run celebrated its 75,000th, that's difficult to say, 75,000th participant last Saturday, October the 11th. Claire Hannaford, who runs Slimming World Groups in Dawlish, was named as Teignmouth Promenade's 775,000th park runner. Sorry, I'll read that again. Was named as Teignmouth Promenade's 75,000th park runner. She is a regular at the event and often runs alongside some of her members. "It's a great start to the weekend," Claire said. "I love being active. I encourage others to be active, and the community support at Parkrun is ideal to get those uplifting Saturday vibes." Teignmouth Promenade Parkrun recently celebrated its 7th birthday. The free event takes place thanks to the efforts of volunteers. Parkrun is open to anyone and takes place at 9 a.m. every Saturday. Participants are welcome to walk or run the 5-kilometre course. And there's a very smiling picture of a group of runners on Teignmouth Promenade.
Preparations underway for fireworks. A South Devon beach will go back to prehistoric times on November the 1st for a Jurassic Park-themed bonfire and fireworks display. Organised by Sheldon Parish Council and Teignmouth Town Council, the event is free to attend so local families can enjoy a traditional bonfire night. There will be lots of friendly and not-so-friendly dinosaurs messing about on Sheldon Beach, so we recommend that spectators arrive well before the bonfire is lit by the Sheldon Water Carnival Royal Party at 6:30 p.m, said Sheldon Parish Councillor and Chair of the Bonfire and Fireworks Committee, Joe Cumbly. The fireworks, which are launched over the estuary from the Point in Teignmouth, start at 7:15 p.m. The event relies on voluntary contributions, which can be made online at www.justgiving.com/crowdfunding/teen-community-fireworks or by adding to the collection buckets on the night.
Well, having watched Exeter City beat Plymouth Argyle 2-0 last night on Sky Sports, yes, I'm in the mood for football now. And it's another home defeat for Teignmouth, I'm afraid. Well, Teignmouth AFC fell to an 8th defeat of their South West Peninsula League campaign to date on Sunday, October the 18th, Liam Jones' side hosted Misroy Rovers at Coombe Valley, knowing a win would see them leapfrog the team from Somerset. But it wasn't to be. Liam Gilbert and Eddie Townsend scored the goals as the Zoi prevailed 2-0, moving them into 11th with 13 points from 10 games to date. Recent wins away at Bishop's Lydiard and Torrington AFC are causes for optimism, but this weekend's result makes it 5 home games without a win, their only success on their own pitch this season coming against rock-bottom Axminster Town. There is no better time than the present for this to change, though as their next 3 games are all in Tynmouth, Crediton United visiting at the end of October, before Torridgeside AFC and Stoke Gabriel and Torbay Police come to town in November. And now we move to the other to Rugby Union and Rugby 2 Southwest Regional League, Tynmouth RFC 14, Weybridge Camels 49. Well, I bet they didn't get the hump after that result. Anyhow, after winning their first 2 games of the season, Tynmouth RFC have lost 4 on the spin, the latest defeat coming at home against Weybridge Camels on Saturday, October the 18th. With several injuries, the teams are stretched thin, but in true club spirit, others have stepped up to the plate when needed. This game quickly went in the Campbells' favour, 2 converted tries taking them into a commanding Love 14 lead, or nil 14 lead, should I say, sorry, wrong sport. George Franklin, Jamie Collins and Harvey Ridgeway were all putting in strong tackles to keep the visitors at bay, but when a penalty was awarded, Weybridge added a 3rd try off the back of a scrum. As the game rolled on, both sides picked up yellow cards before the break, whilst the Camels crossed the line twice more, taking the score to 0-35 at half-time. Gosh. Tynmouth kicked off the second half and were able to put quick pressure on Weybridge, tackling hard and stealing possession. Jordan Hellier ran down the wing before passing to fellow centre Pete Parsons, and the next recipient of the ball was the scorer of the first home try, Harvey Ridgeway. Unfortunately for Teens, the Campbells then responded to this with another 2 tries of their own to put the gloss on a commanding victory.
New pharmacy at former cafe gets the go-ahead. A pharmacy and 3 new flats has taken the next step to becoming a reality as an application to convert a building in Tynmouth Triangle is approved by planners. Submitted by Wellbeing UK Limited, an application sought permission to change the use of 5 The Triangle from a restaurant to a pharmacy. The space was once the home of the Lemon Tree Cafe and the Pickwick restaurant before that. And Tynbridge District Council has granted planning permission. The development hereby permitted shall begin before the expiry of 3 years from the date of this permission, the council said in its decision notice, which was published on October the 14th. According to the design and access statement for the application, the development will offer a balanced and well-considered solution that delivers economic, social, and environmental benefits. It reflects a sustainable, viable, and contextually appropriate use of a centrally located heritage building and should therefore be supported and approved without delay, the statement adds. Tynmouth Town Council raised no objections to the application, however, it did express concerns about proposed bike racks, noting they may obstruct the right of way and fire exits. In addition to the change of use of the ground floor, the application is also seeking to convert the 1st, 2nd and 3rd floors into 3 self-contained 1-bedroom flats, creating a sensitive adaptation that preserves the building's historical and architectural significance, the heritage statement for the application says. The new flats will be high quality and offer attractive views, making this change of use both beneficial for housing and essential for maintaining the building's long-term value, the statement adds.
And now the trotters are well represented at the Herepath Half. 16 Teignbridge trotters took part in Running Forever's RC's Herepath Half Marathon in wet and breezy weather. The undulating trail, 13.7 miles, including fields, lanes and woodland paths with uphill sections early on. It was a well-marshalled and signed event with excellent cakes at the finish. The 16 trotters finished agreed that it was well worth the effort in challenging conditions for championship points. Darren Petch and Ruth Johnson took part in the acronym's Tamar, a hilly road route with a few footpaths taking in the Tamar Bridge not just once, but twice. A great race, but the start was a disaster, waiting in relentless wind and rain for ages. Chris Andrews visited Chicago for a warm-up 5K run, followed by supporting his son Scott in the iconic Chicago Marathon. James Saunders took part in the Bruges Half Marathon, with the weather perfect for fast times. The first couple of kilometres was run around the cobbled streets of the picturesque city, before heading out along the canal, passing through the village of Dahmer before heading back. Bob Small reported from the Berlin Marathon that the warm conditions proved too much whilst attempting a fast time. Ewan Walton showed far more restraint and slowed things down, making good and unhurried use of the drink stations. Ewan said, "I was glad that I made good decisions early on and listened to my body. I enjoyed the event, finishing in 27C with 3 hours, 45 minutes and 55 seconds. And we stay with the trotters for a tender and sentimental article now. And I must tell you that one of my colleagues here has put a heart with an arrow going through it. So this will put you in the mood for this article. And it's entitled, "Trotters Deborah and John Run Into Love." It's a well-known trodden fact that running with other people is good for camaraderie, but it is also fertile ground for finding one's spouse, as a local running group celebrated two of its members' forthcoming wedding. Deborah Hart and John Skinner first met through Teignbridge Trotters back in 2019. The couple quickly hit it off and were married this October. Prior to the wedding, fellow clubmates joined Deborah and John in celebration at Teignmouth Park Run. The pair are the eighth couple to have met and married through Teignbridge Trotters. It would seem run clubs are the new dating apps. Who knew? I wonder if my colleagues in the studio did. Well, both John and Deborah hold prominent roles in Teignbridge Trotters, the former being the 5K coach and the latter the championship secretary. Isn't that just a nice story?
As the bard said, the course of true love does indeed run smooth. Or something like that. And so to entertainment on offer in the week ahead at Pavilions Teignmouth, on Monday the 27th of October at 2 p.m. and Tuesday the 28th at 11 a.m, an animated children's film for half term, Grand Prix of Europe. Edda, a young mouse with big dreams, seizes her chance to race in the Grand Prix. Also on Tuesday, the 28th, at 2:30 and 7:30, the film On Swift Horses, Certificate 15. Muriel and her husband Lee are about to begin a bright new life, which is upended by the arrival of Lee's brother. Muriel embarks on a secret life, gambling on racehorses and discovering a love she never thought possible. On Wednesday the 29th at 7:30, live theatre is on offer, called The Ghost of a Smile. Two of Charles Dickens's creepy tales with a comic twist. Tales with a tingle, but also a giggle. Two yarns to chill and charm. A traveller encounters a ghostly chair, and in a deserted Edinburgh carriage works, a tipsy reveller is spirited away. Pavilion's box office is on 01626 249 049. Meanwhile, if musical theatre is your cup of tea, the Shaftesbury Theatre presents Dawlish Musical Theatre Company's performances of Disney's Aladdin Jr., packed with beloved songs, colourful characters, and plenty of Disney magic. This junior version of the Broadway hit promises adventure, romance, and the timeless message that true treasure lies within. Shows are each night at 7:30 p.m. from Wednesday the 29th of October to Saturday the 1st of November, with a Saturday matinee at 2:30. Box office 01626 863 061. Tynemouth Players at the Ice Factory are performing from Thursday the 30th to Saturday the 1st of November at 7:30 p.m. It's Talking Heads by Alan Bennett. The four monologues are A Chip in the Sugar, Lady of Letters, made famous by the late Patricia Routledge, Her Big Chance, and A Cream Cracker Under the Settee, made famous by Dame Thora Hurd. Quite a difficult act to follow, I would think, but if you're interested, it's on 01626 778 991. And just a reminder that our own phone number, should you wish to leave a message, is 073 76 147 374. And finally, a few other dates next week and beyond. A reminder that next Tuesday, Dawlish Community Transport are going to Nutwell Lodge. And Saturday evening, the 1st of November, there is a fireworks display on at the Smugglers Inn. Monday, the 3rd of November, there is a meeting of the Visually Impaired Book Club at Dawlish Library at 2 p.m. Tuesday, the 4th of November, quite a few things on. There's the Macular Society meeting at Bitten House at 10 a.m. for a talk by ophthalmic consultant Neil Bowley from the Royal Devon and Exeter Hospital about biosimilar medication. And also, Dawlish History Society have a talk by Jeremy Julian on Torquay pottery. This is at 2:30 p.m. at the Manor House. And also on the Tuesday, Dawlish Community Transport are going to King's Garden Centre at Exmouth. And a reminder of the Dawlish Community Transport phone number, 01626 888890. Friday the 7th of November, Holcombe Residents Association General Meeting have a talk on swifts in the Teen Valley. And Saturday the 8th, Soup and Dessert Lunch in aid of the cancer charity Force is from 12 until 1:30 at All Saints Church, Kenton. So with plenty of all sorts on offer in the days ahead, we come to the end of today's programme. We hope you have enjoyed listening to this week's Here and Now, as I close by wishing you a delightful week ahead, when the Yellow Team will be recording the next news on Friday, the 31st of October. This week it has been the pleasure of the Red Team to bring to you Here and Now. Our producer is Sarah Williams. Our other readers have been Mary King, Anne Hibbard, Molly Atkin and David Quay, with Diana Coulson, our copier and dispatcher. So it's goodbye from them and from me, John Townsend, until next time, next month. Goodbye.